Well, good morning, church family. Welcome, visitors. I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Psalm 103, which is found on page 502 of your Pew Bibles. And as you are turning there, I want to describe this psalm for you as a psalm for all seasons. Of course, it's fitting to look at Psalm 103 as we move into a week of Thanksgiving, a week where we celebrate and thank God for His goodness and His kindness, no doubt about it. But as we turn to Psalm 103, we are not told of any particular historical circumstance for this psalm. We are not told that David is repenting of sin. We're not told that he's surrounded by enemies. We're not told that he is weeping the death of Absalom, his son. It is just a general psalm of thanksgiving, and it is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise for all seasons. I'll invite the congregation to stand in honor of the reading of Psalm 103, page 502 in your Pew Bibles. David writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and this is what he writes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to His children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we look to Your word, we thank You. We thank You for the truth that is packed into Psalm 103. And Father, I ask that every single person in this room would receive the benefits that belong to us in Jesus Christ, benefits that are described in Psalm 103. And Father, may this only have a good result in our hearts and our lives, that we would in turn bless the Lord with everything that's inside of us. Bless Your holy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at Psalm 103, we do so in preparation for Thanksgiving this week, but also in preparation for the Lord's table, which we will observe in just a few minutes together. Psalm 103, and we're going to look at it from three questions: the what, the how, and the why. This is for note takers. The what, the how, and the why. What is David doing? How does he do it? why may we also do it? But first, an opening illustration. A couple of weeks ago, as you may remember, it snowed here in Louisville. And my family, we are from Florida, and we haven't quite gotten over the fact that it snows. We enjoy the snow. We get excited about the snow. And so when the snow forecast was coming through the phone, we sat down at dinner that night, and the kids and I started talking about the fact that it was supposed to snow later on that evening. And the kids told me, "Hey, when it snows, will you wake us up? Because we want to see it." And so I said, "Sure, fine, I'll wake you up. We don't want to miss it." Now, I'm going to try to be somewhat vague in what I share with you in the next minute or so, because I've got an arrangement, an agreement with my children that if I ever mention their name from the front, I owe them cotton candy. So I'm going to try to be very careful about not identifying which one of my children this went down with. But I went into my son's room that night, plural, sons. I went into their room that evening. It was about 11 o'clock, and sure enough, it started snowing. It was just covering the ground. And so I thought, okay, they said, "Daddy, wake us up if it happens." And so I went upstairs, and I jolted one particularly, and I said, "Hey, psst, wake up, wake up." Anyway, I was met just, you know, moans and groans. "Oh, what? Wake up. Come downstairs. I want to show you something. Come here. And so he makes his way down the stairs, and I'm standing at the front door, and just about the time he gets to the bottom of the stairs, I yank open the front door, and like a polar vortex shoots through and just pops in. He was half awake, half asleep, but when the cold air popped him in the face, his eyes burst open and a smile spread across his face. He saw all the snow laying on the ground, and I said, "Isn't it beautiful?" And he said, "Yeah. Can I go back to bed?" That is just a tiny little picture, just a glimpse of what we're dealing with when we go and turn to Psalm 103. Something very similar is happening in Psalm 103. It's difficult to miss the point of Psalm 103. The point is, bless the Lord. It's repeated some 6-7 times in the open and in the close. It's sandwiched on both ends. Bless the Lord. 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 It opens with bless the Lord. It closes with bless the Lord. That's not uncommon in the Psalms. It's not uncommon in the Scriptures. Psalm 103 is unique, though. Psalm 117 says, "Praise the Lord, all the nations. Extol him, all the peoples." But David is not saying, "Praise the Lord, all the nations." He is issuing a call to worship. But he's issuing a call to worship to himself. He's issuing a call to worship to his own soul. It's as if he were half awake and half asleep. It's as if he knows God is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. And at the exact same time, he's aware of this, but he also summons himself to wake up, as it were, and to worship. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." David does this in Psalm 57. In Psalm 57, David says, "Awake, my whole being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn." Wake up, he is saying to himself. Wake up and praise the Lord. Not because he has never heard of the Lord before, but it's like he recognizes in this moment that God is worthy of his praise. And he's giving a little, but he wants to call himself to worship the Lord with everything that is within him. Bless his holy name. Wake up, morning. He's not waiting on morning light to wake him up. Wake up, O dawn. Wake up, morning. Wake up, O sleepy instruments. Wake up, my own soul, and bless the Lord. Bless his holy name. It's as if he's recognizing the Lord and giving him half-hearted worship, but he is summoning himself to a full-hearted worship. He's not content with half awake, half-hearted performance. He's not content with just expressing it on the lips, but it not actually arising from the heart. He calls upon all his senses and faculties to be engaged in thanksgiving and praise and worship to God. One commentator writes, the psalmist is rousing himself to shake off apathy and gloom. He is using his mind and memory to kindle his emotions, his heart. David knows that the Lord is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. He knows that in his mind. And how often do we know that in our mind? And yet the heart lags. David's heart is lagging. And so what he's doing is he is issuing a call to worship to himself and saying, wake up. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Do you ever talk to yourself that way? You ever summon yourself that way? I love coming to church, and I love when Pastor Jeff or Cody stands up here and they call us to worship. That helps me. I love a well thought out call to worship, a summons to worship the Lord in his splendor, in his majesty, in his holiness, in his greatness. To be reminded that we have access to him through Jesus Christ. I love a great call to worship, a thoughtful call to worship. But what happens when the call to worship just doesn't penetrate? What we've got modeled here for us in Psalm 103 is that you are to call your own self to worship. That you are to summon your own heart to a full-hearted worship of God. Call yourself to thankfulness. And that might mean this week putting a calendar reminder in your phone. It could mean writing a note and hanging it on the bathroom mirror. But notice that David is bold with himself. He's bold with himself. He's direct. He's commanding himself. It's not, hey, oh my soul. I know it's a cold, rainy, wet day and you're a little bit sleepy. And so if you've got just a minute at some point today, bless the Lord. He's way more forceful than that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Be bold with yourself. Be direct with yourself. David is issuing a command to his own heart. And he's direct. Right now, O my soul, is the time for you to bless the Lord with all of your heart. I'm helped by that. I'm helped when others do that for me, but I don't want you to miss the fact that we are called to issue that bold summons to our own heart. And that leads us to the second point. So David is issuing a bold command. Bless the Lord, O my soul. If you don't like the way anybody else does a call to worship, do it to your own heart. Summon your own heart to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to bless the Lord, to be thankful to the Lord. Second is, how does David do it? So that's what David's doing, but how does David do it? He's calling himself to worship. And verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And now we get his strategy for doing it. And forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, summons himself. Forget not all his benefits. He's teaching us something profound here, isn't he? What happens from verse 2 to verse 19 is David sits down and starts writing out the benefits that he's received from the Lord. He starts reflecting on the kindness of God to him. This is David sitting down, and what happens in verses 2 through 19 is he gives 17 reasons why he should bless the Lord with all that is within him. Now, I've shared this with a couple of people before standing up here before you this morning, and each one of them have said, you're not going to have a 17-point sermon, are you? The answer is no. We're not going to go through all 17 points, but I want you to understand the way that Psalm 103 is put together, because this week you must call yourself, you must summon yourself to worship the Lord with all that is within you. And what you find David doing is sitting down. I don't know that he was necessarily using a ballpoint pen and a sheet of paper, but maybe scratching it out on an animal skin. What he's doing is he's sitting down and he's focusing his mind in order to kindle his affections on 17 reasons why his soul should bless the Lord, why he should be singing the praises of the Lord with all of his heart. And he says particularly, not that he's going to reflect on the character of God, although you can do that from other psalms, but he reflects specifically on the kindness of God to him. Do you do that in your own life? Do you find yourself in that quiet spot, calling forth worship from the heart, but then sitting down with a piece of paper and a pen in front of you and writing out blessing, 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 benefit, benefit, benefit? I mentioned to you earlier that David's not doing this because he's surrounded by enemies. There's no historic context given for the psalm. This is not a psalm where he's weeping over the death of Absalom, his son. This is not a psalm where he is deeply broken by his sin. He's actually amazed that God has removed his sin as far as the east is from the west. Part of the glory of this psalm is that we actually don't know the historical context for it. That's why I say it's a psalm for all seasons. It's a psalm for a Thanksgiving week, but it's a psalm for a cold mid-January. It's a psalm for a warm summer night. It's a psalm for all seasons where you sit down and you walk through the 17 reasons why you and I can bless the Lord, oh my soul, as David blesses the Lord. Now there's tension here. There is tension in the psalm. And you find that tension in verse 2. What stands in David's way? Why does our heart grow cold? Why do we not as Christians walk around praising the Lord with a warmth and a fervor from the heart all the time? Why does that happen to us? Verse 2 tells us it's called forgetfulness. We forget. We forget the benefits of the Lord. We forget what he has done for us. David forgets, and he's calling himself not to forget, but to remember. There are plenty of jokes about forgetfulness. Plenty of jokes about old people forgetting things. There are some jokes about young people forgetting things. I don't know the punchline. Our tendency to forget the kindness of God is not an age problem. My father, when we were growing up, the boys would tell us on, you know, any given summer morning, he would say, "Mow the yard." And when he'd come home later on that evening, he'd say, "Why isn't the yard mowed?" And what do you think? We said, "Dad, I forgot." That's right. I forgot. And so more times than I can count growing up, my dad would look at me and say, "Son, grow a brain." When you come to this passage, the problem is not brain activity. The problem is not levels of intelligence. The problem is not age. When you look at what it means to remember and to forget in the scripture, you find that remembering and forgetting in the scripture is not a brain problem or an age problem. It's a heart problem. There's something profoundly broken with the human heart. And they forget, we forget the benefits of the Lord. We forget our God. And I'll just give you two brief examples of this before we continue on in the passage. Two quick examples of forgetfulness in Scripture being connected to your heart. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Moses is leading the children of Israel into the promised land. In just a little while, Joshua would take over and actually lead the children of Israel into the promised land. They've been wandering for years and years and years. And Moses addresses the congregation of Israel and he says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God." And when you read about it in context, he says, because you're going to come out of Egypt. You're going to go into the land of milk and honey. You're going to go into the promised land. You're going to get a little money. You're going to get a little silver and gold. You're going to have a good crop. Your herds are going to multiply. And then the scripture says, and then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. You find in a good year, maybe 2019 has been a good year for you. All the more reason for you to find yourself alone with Psalm 103, calling yourself to worship the Lord. Your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, there are 68 verses in Deuteronomy 28, 14 of blessing, and the rest, the balance, 54, curses. So curse, blessings and curses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And basically what the Lord does is he goes through the blessings and cursings and he says, if you remember the Lord your God, These blessings will rest upon you. 14 verses. But if you forget the Lord your God, if you depart from him, then these 54 verses of curses will come upon you. And in spite of the warnings and in spite of the incentives, in spite of the blessings and the curses, the Lord pulls Moses aside and says, they're going to forget me. They're going to go into the land and they're going to occupy it and they're going to grow prosperous and they're going to say, who is the Lord our God? Who is he? And they're going to forget me. And these curses will come upon them. They will be scattered. But then the Lord promises in Deuteronomy chapter 30, but I will restore them the moment they turn to me. Even, this is the scripture, even if your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord God will gather you together. Now, I don't know everybody's particular season or walk in life, but you've got to ask yourself the question, have you remembered or forgotten the Lord your God this year? Are you far from him? If so, turn to the Lord your God. Joshua received this from Moses, and he did everything that he could to try to help Israel remember. So they crossed over the river. And after they crossed over the river, Joshua actually had 12 individuals gather 12 massive stones, and they compiled them and arranged them and piled them in a very particular way. And he did that because he was reading Deuteronomy well. He understood what his predecessor had taught. They're going to forget. How can I keep them from forgetting the Lord their God? And so Joshua tells, pull together these stones and let's erect an Ebenezer. Let's raise a memorial. And he writes these words. Why are you, the men ask him, the children of Israel, why are you pulling all these stones together? Joshua says, so that when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, but he opened them up. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever, a memorial, a remembrance, to remember God's kindness, to remember all that he did, bringing them out of the land of Egypt, so that when they would inhabit the promised land, they would prosper and do well. But recognizing the danger of spiritual forgetfulness. And church family, even if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, recognize the danger of spiritual forgetfulness, even in your own life. Recognize the danger. Call yourself to worship. I love this one in Jeremiah. It happened exactly as God said it was going to happen. The people forgot him. And Jeremiah, the prophet, years later, obviously, would come and speak to the children of Israel. And he would address their forgetfulness, but listen to how he does it. He doesn't address it as a brain problem, and he doesn't address it as an age problem. He addresses this spiritual forgetfulness as a love problem, as a heart problem. And listen to how he does it. He says, does a young woman forget her jewelry? Does a bride forget her wedding ornaments? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. You talk to any young bride. You talk to any bride. Ask them, hey, what did you wear on your wedding day? You think any of them is going to be like, I forgot. You just can't remember. I wore something, I'm sure. No. Or ask, what's your favorite piece of jewelry? You think they'll be like, I've never thought about that. Of course not. And yet Jeremiah the prophet is sent to the people of God, and he says, does a bride forget her jewelry or her wedding apparel? Yet my people, I was supposed to be their crown jewel. I'm the ones we heard at the baby dedication earlier with little Wyatt. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. How can you possibly forget God if he is your first love? And yet Jeremiah comes and he says, they have forgotten. He's speaking the word of the Lord. They have forgotten me days without number. Could that be said of you? Have you forgotten the Lord your God days without number? The heart becomes proud. Heart becomes proud. You know, interestingly, and this is, you know, nearly a decade of pastoral ministry, this happens more often in the good times than the bad times. The fascinating thing is during difficult seasons and difficult times of people's life, Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, you see them cling to the Lord. Things going pretty good year. Yeah, pretty good. 2019 has been pretty good. You know what happens is, I just don't need him as much. Who is the Lord? I'm comfortable. I'm doing okay. Do you see how real life and practical this is? One of the things we like to do in my family is make a Thanksgiving list each year. And I'll sit down, so each year, tell the kids, hey, we're going to write out 100 things we're thankful for this year. And it goes about like you can imagine. 100? You kidding me? I can't even think of 3. 100. And then there's like a strategy that kicks in and you go through and you like name every single human being you know. I'm thankful for this person. And then that moves to like baked goods. I'm thankful for cake and I'm thankful for cupcakes and cookies and ice cream. You start working through the list, but I'll tell them you have to reserve 10 for the Lord. You have to reserve. I mean, so, you know, they can be thankful for anything. And I'll praise the Lord for it, but you have to reserve 10 for the Lord. Write a Thanksgiving list. Do it. Do it this week. Take some time. And if you find that you can't, if you find that you're sitting down at the table and you don't know what to write, you just don't even know how to get started, then take Psalm 103 and open it up and just start writing the verses. David will give 17 reasons to stir up his own heart. I mean, I don't want you to think that he's at the top of the mountain. He's like halfway up right now. He's halfway up the mountain, but he's stirring himself up. He's summoning forth his soul to bless the Lord with all that is within him. And he starts giving 17 reasons. And I'm not going to go through every single one. I'm just going to sort of cherry pick a few. This is the what. He forgives our iniquities and heals our diseases. One commentator writes, if God's blessing stopped at the forgiveness of sins and did not go on to cure the madness in our hearts, we would continue to be vile and miserable. He crowns you. He crowns you with steadfast love. He places his love upon you. You know, when that reality sets in on followers of Jesus Christ, it changes them. For there to be this moment of vulnerability where you come to grips with the fact that you are loved by God, just let that wash over you this week. Let it wash over you this morning. It's powerful. The Lord opposes works of injustice and unrighteousness. And he works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You look around and you see things in this world that are just broken and not right. One of the things you can be thankful for in Psalm 103 is that he will put it right. Only he can, but he will, and he's promised to do so. He's merciful and gracious. Verse 9, it's a legal term. He will not always chide. He will not always chide. Nor will he keep his anger forever. Verse 10, if you've got any self-awareness at all, you will love verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. He remembers we're dust. Aren't you glad that he looks down and he remembers your dust? He remembers your frame. He knows your weaknesses. And yet the verse has already told us he doesn't chide you for that. Rather than chiding you in your weakness, he crowns you with steadfast love. This is what the Lord our God does. Verse 8, we sang about this Psalm 46 song that the choir sang before we got up here. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. This is a great comfort. This is a blessing and a benefit for those who have called upon the Lord. One writer says, no man... David did a great job with 17 reasons, but no man has ever yet made a complete catalog of the benefits that come to us from the Lord. There's never been an exhaustive list made, nor could there be. Number 3, why can we do this? What did David do? He called himself to worship. How did he do it? By listing 17 benefits that he's received from the Lord. And finally, why can we do this? And the answer is really simple. Because Jesus. That's why we can do this. Why can David write these words? I mean, so I read a passage like this and I get down to these benefits are for those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. And immediately what pops into my mind was, well, David committed adultery and he murdered and he lied quite a bit. So how can he write that this is for those who remember to do his commandments? And you start thinking that out and teasing that out long enough, and you're going to discover one dominating truth in Scripture. These promises, these benefits only stand in the cross of Jesus Christ. God, though infinitely wrong, I'm quoting, not only tempers wrath, but tempers justice. But at what cost? A terrible cost to himself that only the New Testament would reveal. Another, David wrote this psalm 1,000 years before Jesus walked the earth, and yet it takes the cross of Jesus Christ for every single one of those 17 blessings to stand. And the reason for that is because David wrote this under inspiration, but he wrote it as a tragically flawed, deeply imperfect human being. He could not accomplish these benefits on his own merit. And he cannot hand these benefits to us directly. We can't reach back and just grab Psalm 103 and say, man, I'm just so comforted by this. This is just such a great sentimental thing if we don't go through the cross of Jesus Christ. I'll say it as strongly as I can. These benefits do not belong to us unless we receive them from Jesus Christ. The benefits of Psalm 103 belong to us and belong to us only and exclusively in the person of Jesus Christ. So several points of application and I'll close. For followers of Jesus Christ, boldly call yourself to worship this week. With all, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Summon yourself, dearly loved ones. Beloved. The loved ones by God, summon yourself to thanksgiving and worship to God this week. Two, list his benefits. Take some time to do it. Write them out. Put literally on piece of paper, you, your desk, your closet, wherever you need to go. Go to a Starbucks, go wherever. Sit down, write out the benefits. This is good for your soul. And again, if it's not a matter, you just don't have to be creative. Nothing else, just sit down and write out Psalm 103. And then third, and don't miss this, remember Jesus. Remember the reason why these benefits belong to us. David was flawed. He had enemies for good reason, but these benefits are ours in Jesus Christ. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, these are gospel blessings that are extended to you. You're invited to receive them, but you must receive them in Christ because they're not available any other way. Receive them today so that you too may be able to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the benefits that belong to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you do not chide, that your anger doesn't rest upon us because it's been poured out on one who was perfect, on Jesus our King. And Father, we ask that you would help us this week. As we move into Thanksgiving, we know that we're called to rejoice. We've seen that in our Habakkuk study. But undoubtedly, there are some that wonder, what do I grab hold of? Where do I go to remind myself of your kindness? You've given us Psalm 103, and you've given us a pledge and a promise of these benefits in Jesus Christ. I pray that every single person in this room would receive these benefits in Jesus Christ, that they would look to him and they would look to no other for all that their soul needs and requires, for perfect righteousness, for forgiveness of sins. Father, may Jesus Christ be exalted this week in our lives. And as he is exalted, may our hearts be full of joy, of peace. May we be able to sing with our lips real, authentic praise to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.